And it all begins now with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joining us here in the studio to talk books. Susan, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We were talking about Game 7 of the World Series tonight, Royals versus Giants, and I realized that it was 10 years ago tomorrow. I was living in New Jersey. I was a huge Red Sox fan because of the history. Like, I'll root for any team that goes forever without winning a championship. So they finally won in 2004, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was living in New Brunswick, New Jersey. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I got in my car, and I drove 4 hours to Boston and stood out in the cold rain to watch the victory parade. And that was October 30th, 2004. So almost 10 years ago to the day.
So I can text you tonight and we can drive to Kansas City.
Absolutely.
It's like,
yeah,
I forget how many hours. I used to do it every year when I lived out there, but we could be there tomorrow.
We could, yeah, absolutely. And I think they might put the parade off for like a day. Maybe they'll have on like a Saturday or Friday or something. So that'll give us even more time.
We could do
it.
Road trip.
Make it happen. Yep. I'll bring a cell phone and we'll call into the station or something, or not, you know. But that was such a fun.
We could have done books about baseball.
We could have
week.
Done books about baseball. We can.
What's a baseball book?
Oh, The Year Mom Won the Pennant by Matt Christopher.
Look at you.
That was my favorite book when I was growing up for the longest time. Yeah. The Year Mom Won the Pennant until I think the Westin game came along and supplanted it on
game.
Top. Which I have not recommended. I'm holding that one for – I did, yeah. Well, we've got Halloween recommendations.
Yes.
And I thought about the Westin game as my Halloween recommendation. But no, I'm going to hold off on that one for a little while. I've got some better ones. But that was Devil's Night 2004, because I'm from Michigan and we call October 30th Devil's Night.
Really?
And I just assumed that everyone else did too.
Do you get candy then too?
No. You go and set fire to things, basically. It's basically that's the night when you go out and commit random acts of neighborhood mischief.
And they still give you candy the next night?
Yes, actually. Well, I never did both, so I never participated in the Devil's Night festival. In New Jersey, they call it Mischief Night. And then everywhere else in the country, they have no word for it whatsoever. It's fascinating. I lived in one place, and then I moved to the other place, and there were two places in the country that actually have a name for October 30th.
But, I've never heard of that.
Right?
Never.
Nobody else does. But it's Devil's Night.
Don't tell,
October
30th. Chief Blue and Chief Jones about that. Chapel Hill does not need
maybe
any more Halloween-related mischief.
Know. It's the
I'm
other people
saying.
That need to not know about that. But
right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my great Halloween story. And then I drove all the way back on October 30th from Boston to New Jersey, and we had a Halloween-themed night at my friend Stip's house. We watched old movies, and we were up until 1 o'clock in the morning. By that point, I'd been out for like 30 straight hours. It was great. That's my Halloween story.
There you go.
That's my best. That's
good
my
stuff.
Best Halloween. What's
you
your best? What's your best Halloween?
Gosh, you know, I was gonna say I was telling somebody about this earlier. They were asking me if I was going to Franklin Street Friday night.
Uh-huh.
I said no. I got young kids. We're gonna trick or treat. We're gonna stay away.
Yeah.
But when my husband and I lived here for graduate school, we lived right on Franklin Street.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In that brick building between the church and the sorority house.
Uh-huh.
It's now like fancy schmancy apartments now, and they were dumpy one bedrooms. So we used to do Franklin Street, and one year, some friends of ours, we did a themed night, and we were all 80s pop stars.
Nice.
And I was 80s Madonna with lots of lace.
Okay.
But my good buddy Greg was Run from Run DMC.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it was like the day before he got shot or he died. Didn't one of them, wasn't it the Run DMC? I think it was Run.
I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look that
one of
the,
and he dressed
anyway,
up like him.
Oh, of course.
He'd been planning it for weeks and everybody thought that it was like the coolest on
so,
point
like,
the of the moment.
Too soon,
costume.
But it was just a coincidence.
Yeah, and it was like I was walking down Franklin Street with the guy with the best costume out of, you know, 80,000 people.
That was pretty fun. That was great. That's great.
Yeah,
there's always the too soon ones. That come out.
But
there's never a total coincidence.
It was not planned.
Like
it was not
planned
at all.
All right.
It was fun.
I believe it. Cool. So that's our Halloween stories. How about Halloween themed books? We always pick a topic for. I had such a hard time with this topic because I'm not really into the scary horror stories very much. So my knowledge of horror as a literary genre is so limited.
But, I like horror a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of smiley and happy go lucky.
Right.
Positive and optimistic. I really like.
I horror. Think it's because you're smiley and optimistic
right?
that you know, like you get into the other side of your personality. But I, on the other hand, am a horrible person, so I hate horror. That's just how it goes. So Halloween is our theme. I came up with I did end up coming up with a couple of scary books, but you start, because I think you'll have more okay. recommendations than I do this week.
So I was thinking of a number of like frames for this, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, oh, I should do great scary movies that people should read the book for.
Okay. Oh,
like
I like that.
The Shining,
yeah. Yes,
or
yeah.
Rosemary's Baby, which mm-hmm. the book is by Ira Levin, and all of his stuff is really great.
Yeah.
The book, The Exorcist, it's a really great book. I mean, the movie, you see it a couple times,
like
you get over the scary part, and it just becomes, I don't know.
What it is. Yeah.
But the book is terrifying.
Mm.
So I was thinking about that.
I'll have to check out the book. I've seen The Exorcist a couple of times, and I've never been scared by it. It's an intense movie for me, but
right.
it's not a scary movie.
I think the book
in
will
the
scare
same
you.
Way, man.
And it's
okay.
well written.
In the same way that like the jump scares in Jaws, for instance, like another movie that comes out at the same time. That scares me. But The Exorcist, for whatever reason, never right. did. I don't know why.
And Jaws is also a really good
it's
novel.
It's a good book, yeah.
It's a really good
Peter
book.
Peter Benchley, yep.
But then I decided not to do that.
Okay.
And then I was thinking about...
Oh, so that's not a recommendation.
No, okay. those are recommendations.
Okay.
But then I came upon... Well, and actually, I should share. One of my all-time favorite novels is mm-hmm. a horror novel, and it's Dracula.
Yes.
And I generally don't like epistolary novels that are told in the form of letters.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that book. But I decided to read it. I spent a semester abroad in Prague.
Ooh.
And I decided to read Dracula there.
Of
and
course.
I was living... like on my own, but I would, you know, go sit at a pub or something and read
uh-huh.
this book and drink some Czech beer, and then I would have to walk back to my dorm through like dark, foggy cobblestone
yeah,
streets.
Eastern Europe, the
right?
Gothic buildings, and yeah,
right?
yeah.
So I got to put in a pitch for Dracula. If you've never read that one, many, many movies based on that one. It's a great book. But then I thought, okay, Halloween is like 2 days away.
Right.
Not much time to read.
Yes.
Short stories.
Short stories. Okay, I like
so
it.
So here
I
we
like
go.
It. Yeah, all right.
You know I love Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
The two stories that I want to recommend by him are in an early collection of his called Night Shift.
Yes.
Really good collection. It's got mm-hmm. Children of the Corn and mm-hmm. a bunch of the famous ones in there. There's two, though, that still I remember reading them and being terrified. And I remember finding my sister's paperback copy of it. She's like 8 years older than me,
uh-huh,
and I was
uh-huh.
in like seventh grade, and
yes.
I probably shouldn't have been reading them. And then I read them. I was like, oh, I can't unread those. One is called The Mangler,
uh-huh.
which is about a... evil possessed piece of machinery at an industrial laundry facility.
Yes.
And then the other one is The Boogeyman, which is about a psychiatrist, or he's a therapist, and this father that goes to see him, and the ending of it, it's not for the lighthearted.
Okay.
It's terrifying.
All
so
right.
those are two really good short stories.
So pick up Night Shift, read
Night
those
Shift
two
by
in particular.
Stephen King.
Is that the same one? And again, I'm betraying my total ignorance of Stephen King. One of my recommendations is Stephen King, because you can't do Halloween without
right?
recommending something
yep.
by Stephen King. And I think I've got a good one that's not a common one. But is that the same collection that has the one with the, I think it's the ants that the guy kills an ant and then the rest of them just attack
it
him?
Might be.
That's the Stephen
it
King
might
short
be.
Story
that's
that
an
I
early
remember.
One, I think. Yeah.
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 I can't remember what the title of it is, but it's very good. All right. So that's your Stephen King recommendation. Let me do my Stephen King recommendation now. I've read a number of Stephen King books. I've liked them all. I was going to go with Carrie, but I thought, no, not Carrie. We'll go with the first one that I read, the one that still actually sticks with me, Needful Things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I
wasn't
don't know
expecting
why that
one.
Was right. That's why I went with that. I don't know why I picked this one up of all of the others, but of all of the Stephen King I've read, this is I think the first one that I read that stuck with me. It is about it's about a town in Maine. I know that narrows it down. But this guy, Leland Gaunt, I think is his name, Max von Sydow in the movie, comes to town and he sets up this like knick-knack shop called Needful Things. And it's the room of requirement kind of shop where you walk in and you find exactly the thing that you're looking for, but it comes with a terrible curse. And Leland Gaunt is basically the devil and he's trying to corrupt and drag this town down, and basically succeeds up to about the last 10 pages of the novel. So
I might have to reread
it's
that one.
It's a good one. Yeah. The one that's the scene that sticks with me, and I'm not afraid of spiders, but there's a spider scene in that one.
Say no more.
That sticks
no,
with
literally,
me.
No,
yeah.
literally. Stop talking
okay,
about it, Aaron.
I will not. All right.
I don't like spiders either.
But Needful Things is my recommendation. And as I'm doing that, I'm remembering. I knew there was another scary book that I read that I have to recommend, which I've got written down now. But go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so my next one. You may have read this one because you like the kind of classic authors.
Yes, yes.
Another short story that, again, my sister introduced me to her. I don't know if she's listening, but if you corrupted me. You terrified me. You probably set out to do it.
What is her name?
Her name is Sydney.
Okay.
She also was an influence on my musical taste. I realized like she had all the cool vinyl albums.
Right. Oh,
she's
that,
8 years older than me.
Yeah, older
she was reading the good
influence
stuff,
your musical taste.
Listening
yeah.
to the good stuff.
Yep.
So,
like an almost famous kind of thing where she bestows all of the good music on you as she walks out the door to become a flight attendant. That might be a little bit specific.
So the other one that I remember reading from her collection is a short story by Ray Bradbury called The Veldt. Have you ever read that one?
Oh, is that in the Illustrated Man?
It is.
Then I have read it.
I've read the
Illustrated Man. It's a great collection.
With the happy life home or whatever, where everything is on screens and everything is automated and everything is done for you.
Yeah.
And the two young kids spend too much time in the nursery area where they have this video screen wall.
And it comes
to like
life,
Africa,
doesn't it? Yeah.
Like
and then they get stuck.
There's the lion.
There.
Well, the parents.
No.
Get worried that the kids are spending too much time with the screens.
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Right.
And the screen gets stuck on this image of these lions in the way far back eating this carcass, and they bring in a psychologist, and he says, you should leave this house and move to the country and no more screens. And I'm not going to tell you anymore because it's a really great story. I don't want
to
spoil the ending.
I'm going to have to go back and read that. Your sister gave that one to you. My mom gave that one to me because that was apparently, like, she gave me a couple of books, and that's the one that I read that I really, really liked. And I'm going to have to go back and reread it because now I remember one story from that one right now, which was two astronauts that get sort of stranded in space, and it's them sort of talking with each other a la Gravity, but with a less happy ending. Yeah.
That's what I love about science fiction and also horror. They often sort of have these hints at things that have actually come true.
Yes, yes.
Screens and gravity and astronauts stranded in space. So
I have to go back and reread.
It's very, it
I remember
really
that
resonates
one really,
for what's going on now.
Yeah, that sticks. That one sticks. Okay, so I'm gonna go to the children's book. Pool for this one. I had a hard time trying to remember a classic book that I read from childhood that was scary. And again, Weston Game is a little bit scary. It's got a murder. It's got people dressing up for Halloween and things like that. There's a mad bomber in the building, et cetera, et cetera. But that wasn't the one that I went with. I went with Avi, who is a great children's book author. He's got a number of really cool, spooky stories, but I'm going to go with The Man Who Was Poe.
I've never read that one.
Oh, it's so good. I bought a used copy from the bookshop, and I have it now, and I've reread part of it, and it actually still holds up today. But it is it's a book about a British kid who comes over with his sister and his aunt, I think, and they're looking for their mother who lives in Baltimore and has gone missing, and then all of a sudden the sister and the aunt go missing too, and it's just this one kid who's like alone by himself in a foreign country, and it's set in the 1840s, and he is befriended by this mysterious stranger who says he is a private detective named Auguste Dupin.
Ooh,
but it's
I like
actually
that.
Edgar Allan Poe in the last stages of his life. And he just decides to become his detective character and befriend this kid, and together they go.
Oh, that sounds like my kind of story.
It's really good. It's my favorite Avi novel, and I read a bunch when I was in middle school.
So I've actually never read Avi.
Oh, really?
I just said that. I just said that on live radio.
Avi's so
confession.
Good. I know some people who don't like Avi all that much, but I do. I love The Man Who Is Poe. True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle is another good one where she's on the high seas. Something Upstairs is probably the best scary novel, but I like The Man Who Is Poe.
Let me tell you the level of my reading taste about that same time probably.
Okay, okay.
The scary book that I remember, and you know, Avi continues to be in print, right?
Yes,
quality
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't go for the quality kind of stuff. The book that I remember the most, and I should try and track it down, was this book, and it terrified me. It was this band of runaway kids, and they go to the mall, and they decide they're going to like stay in the mall after it closes in the department store because they're going to sleep on the beds that night.
Yes, yeah.
And so the mall closes, and then what happens?
The mannequins come to life.
You read
yes,
that book!
Yes, I didn't. I saw the Twilight Zone episode.
To life.
Yes.
And it was like this trashy 70s teen novel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, remember reading it 87
times.
Were
they like evil mannequins that attacked you? Like they were trying to protect their territory?
Something
was that what
like
it was?
That.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never got to Avi because I just read that book over and over again.
If you haven't read Avi, have you read, and now that I've come up with a recommendation of Avi, now I'm remembering. If you read William Slater, S-L-E-A-T-O-R.
No.
You would probably still like him today. Yeah. I think some of these still hold up. Science fiction-y, fantasy-y novels aimed at teens he would have written them in the 80s, I guess. And they're very, like, creepy novels. There's one called... the best one is Interstellar Pig, which is kid ends up playing a game... this game called Interstellar Pig with his next door neighbors who turn out to be aliens, and the game is like an apocalyptic end of the world game, but it's real. It's been a long time since I've read it, but it's William
you had
Slater
me at the title Interstellar Pig.
Yep, there's Interstellar Pig, there's Singularity. I think he also wrote a book called House of Glass, if I'm remembering right. Everyone in middle school loved William Slater, and really like creepy, scary stuff too.
I like creepy.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, you would really like Interstellar Pig, I think.
All right.
I would bet that it still holds up.
Awesome.
It was really good.
I'm going to
anyway,
look for it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
The other short story that I'm going to recommend, well, it's a collection of short stories and an author recommendation. Richard Matheson, who wrote Nightmare at 30,000 Feet,
yes.
Which is the famous
Great.
Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner.
Yep. Or John Lithgow, depending on
which
one.
It was redone in the movie, right?
Yep.
So in the movie, the creature on their wing is a skeleton goblin thing.
Right.
But if you go back to the original Twilight Zone episode, it's this little... Do you remember the Munchie Chi dolls?
Yes.
The 80s toys. The creature on the wing looks more like that,
okay.
And yet it's more terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like, even talking about it, I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
I can't watch that Twilight Zone episode. I can't do it. And it's this little cuddly kind of thing that's out there on the wing. So anyways, for those that don't know this story, Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, guy gets on a plane. He's got some anxiety issues. He's got some mental issues going on. He's on the plane, and he keeps seeing something out on the wing,
mm-hmm.
and no one believes him.
Mm-hmm.
So... Everybody knows the Twilight Zone movie or the episode, but it's based on Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. It's a collection of stories. And Richard Matheson also wrote I Am Legend, which folks know from the Will Smith movie.
Right.
That
which
is one
was
of
also
the,
a movies from the 70s, too, right?
That's right.
That was a remake,
and it's one of the best vampire stories out there. Terrifying.
Yep.
He's a really underappreciated author. So Richard Matheson, short stories, especially Nightmare at 30,000 Feet.
All right. And then my last recommendation, and this has nothing whatsoever to do with it being a scary story, because this is schlock, but when people ask me what the most important books in my life are, I'll always, you know, there's always a few standard ones that I'll name. But one of the ones that always ends up making my list is a book called Creature by John Saul, which is a horror book. John Saul wrote a bunch of horror novels. It's the only one that I've read. And it's about this, like, weedy, nerdy kid who moves to a new town, and the high school that he goes to is like this jock high school that everyone's into sports. And he decides to get into sports as well because it's the only way to fit in, and he gets on the football team somehow, and then he learns that it's a jock high school because everyone is like taking this serum, like injecting themselves with this like steroidy serum that makes them all big and huge, and he injects himself with this steroidy serum and it makes him big and huge, and it also turns him into
a creature,
him into an inhuman animal. Yeah, and then he terrorizes the town. The reason why that book is, and it's a decent novel, the reason why that book is so influential to me is because he arrives at high school. I read it when I was like 10. Had to have been in middle school. Maybe I was like 12 or something like that. But he arrives at this high school, and the others are like, oh, what team are you going to be on? And he's like, I don't know, debate team maybe, something like that.
I did not know
that there was such a thing as a debate team. I read that, and I was like, that sounds really cool. And then when I got to high school, I joined the debate team. That got me into public speaking. That got me into theater. That got me into comedy. That got me here.
I love
it. Creature by John Saul. You have no idea what the most influential book in your
That's
life is
awesome.
Going to be until you sit down and read it.
That's a great story.
That's
and
where I'm
I was
end.
A debater and yep. forensics.
Oh, yep, yep.
Model UN. Did you do that too?
I did that in college, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That actually might be geekier than
yeah.
you did
well,
Model
no,
UN
I
in college.
I helped out with my college's Model UN. Like, they hosted a high school
okay.
tournament.
I got you.
I was the Soviet Union in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I got everyone in the world on my side. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So much
That's
fun
a great story, though, about how you get into
yeah.
all the doorways.
Just things that happen.
Doors that
yeah.
open.
Yep.
So the last one, do we have time for one last?
We've got
one more?
One more, yep.
Okay, the last one, it's actually nonfiction, but I want to circle back to Stephen King. He wrote a book in the late 70s, early 80s. I probably say it incorrectly. Danse Macabre.
Yeah, Danse Macabre, yeah.
Right?
Yep,
Macabre
yep.
is Macabre. Incorrect, right?
Yeah.
It's nonfiction, and it's a really great collection of essays where he talks about why we read horror, why yeah. horror is enjoyable to read, how he got into horror writing, but also he goes into radio, film, TV, and books that he recommends as great ways to start getting into horror and the best of the genre.
Awesome.
So if you've never read that, it's a really smart collection of essays.
All right, sounds good. All of those and more by Friday, and there will be a test. So everyone out there, read those books. We'll give you a pop quiz on Halloween. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again.
Thanks for having me.
All right.